May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, for you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So we are concluding this series of messages of why we gather. We gather to find comfort. We gather to find our common need. We gather so that we might celebrate life and praise our God. And we gather so that we can determine how we can make a difference in our world. As the video introduction said, we want to be a part of a vibrant church that will make a difference in our community and to the very ends of the earth. And I want to share some ideas about how we gather to make this difference in the world, and saying that all organizations, if they are to survive, need to know the needs of the community in which they serve. A community of faith needs to connect with each other in their common purposes in meeting those needs, to seek God's guidance through prayer and worship and study of scriptures. Those thoughts are at the core of our central church's mission statement: connecting with God, connecting with others, changing our world with Christ's love. That mission statement was developed over 10 years ago, fairly early in my ministry here at Central Church, and we've re-examined and looked at it and said it still holds water, it's still meaningful for us. And we've found it helpful over my years as your pastor to consider a ministry and how we are constantly connecting with our God, constantly connecting with each other. And finally, as the title of this message indicates, we need to ask ourselves, are we making a difference in our world? The words "our world" were very deliberate as we discussed this, because it's easy to sit around and say, hey, we want to change the world. The world? All of the world? We'd like to think that our ministry would be that deep and that breadth, but we are charged with our little corner of God's kingdom here on earth. And so we decided to use the words "our world." And if we can change our world, then we believe that the world can be changed as well, as we call churches around the world to be faithful to the cause of Jesus Christ, to show compassion and love. So these three simple statements up here on our mission statement have been there for many years. Call them platitudes, principles, words to live by. We all have ideals that become our compass for living. Usually they are brief. Let's call them pithy principles. And most of us have some. You've heard of some of these. You've heard some of these. Perhaps you can raise your hand if you'd like to. Have you ever heard this one? Practice moderation in all things. Or don't sweat the small stuff. I'm seeing heads nod. Life's too short to hold a grudge. Don't ask others to do what you aren't willing to do yourself. Do what's right. Two wrongs don't make a right. Pick your battles. Pithy principles to live by. And the Apostle Paul, who wrote our scripture for today, gives us several pithy principles. He begins to conclude his letter with some ideas about what he wants the people to be about. When you read Paul's letter to the Philippians, you almost got to blush. He knows them so well. Oh my goodness, the intimacy with which he knew that church and those people. And don't you love how he calls them out and says, hey, these two ladies, they're squabbling. They're squabbling. Because we don't ever have that in any other churches, right? But those two ladies are squabbling, so get on them and let's help them. Help them reconcile. Help them be in love with each other. Help them be in love with God. Isn't that wonderful? He's calling them out, saying, hey, I know this church, and I want to help. So here are some of Paul's pithy principles that we can find in our scripture lesson for today. Rejoice in the Lord always. Where did I hear that from, right? From our children's time. Let your gentleness be known to everyone. Don't worry about anything. And he says, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Dwell on the higher things. And he has a whole list in verse 8. Going beyond our passage for today, the rest of this chapter offers, learn to be content. You can do all things through him who strengthens you. And it concludes with, God will fully satisfy every needs of you according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Centuries of Christians have found Paul's principles of enduring worth, but there are often challenges with applying principles to our everyday lives. Not all supposed life rules are as worthy as Paul's. Another is that life is sort of a moving target, right? And what was considered wisdom of past ages no longer applies in this modern day. But perhaps the most significant trouble with guiding principles is how easily they are forgotten, how easy it is to forget them. At least forget to put them in practice when we need them. The result is that we get into circumstances and we don't remember those principles that guide our lives. And sometimes the wrong decisions are made when we're found in sticky situations. Memory itself does not automatically serve up what we know when we need it, right? But wait, aren't guiding principles things that we should have uploaded along the way to a moral hard drive? And so that when they are needed, they sort of automatically pop up? Well, yes. We should have uploaded them, assuming that we're exposed to such principles and figure them out as we live our daily lives. But it doesn't always work that way. And one of the people who can help us understand that is Richard J. Howard Jr. He was a 45-year veteran of the Central Intelligence Agency. He wrote a book about the psychologists of intelligence analysis. And he talks about working memory. Working memory, that which we can hold in the forefront of our minds while dealing with specific matter. And he refers to earlier research that contends that most of us can only keep about 7 things, plus or minus 2, in our heads at one time. In our heads at once, right? So therefore, if you've got 10 guiding principles, it's likely you're not going to be able to apply them to your life throughout those difficult times. So memory is a huge issue in terms of applying principles to our lives. But I thought it would be helpful for us to think about how Jesus might approach a set of life principles. We might gain great understanding in how Jesus thought of life principles when he summarized the whole of Moses' law. Jesus summarized the law of Moses into just 2 principles. Love God and love others. Love your neighbor. Mind you, we're talking about the first 5 books of our scriptures. Genesis, Exodus, Deuteronomy, Leviticus, Numbers. Lots of rules in there. Besides the 10 commandments, there's another 603 for a total of 613 rules. And Jesus says, let's just remember 2. Can we handle 2? To bring this message full circle, friends, there is a correlation to make between Jesus' 2 principles and our mission statement at Central Church. We express our love both for both God and others by saying that we want to connect with God and others. Our love for others is possible because God first loved us, cares for us, has compassion for us, has mercy for us. Our love for others is possible only because we have an idea of what that love feels like. And I am well aware that I have 2 groups of people that I'm trying to address this morning. For those of you who have joined us for All Saints Day in our Rose Memorial Service, I hope you've benefited from the service today. I hope you benefited from my ministry with you, and that our remembrance of your loved ones does bring a word of comfort and care to you. And for our members and friends, you have seen people in this sanctuary, both members and people who've walked in for the first time, stand and receive a rose, knowing that they have lost a loved one. These people, both those you know best and love most, as well as those who have stepped into this church for the first time, are representative of a world in need. And they are why we constantly connect with God and why we constantly try to connect with others and why we are trying to change our world with the love of Christ. So let me end with a message specifically to our church family. Next week, we will be looking at our ministries. We will be hopefully inspired by the words of Pastor Gary Stepp as he brings us a message. He'll let us know that that our support of this ministry can help us live that mission statement, those pithy principles upon which we can hang the rest of Jesus' words, just love God and love others. So whatever you decide to do next week as you come and support the ministry of this church, know that it is your decision made with in response to what you have received from God. And finally, when people ask me what they shall give, our scripture makes it plain. I always share this with you sometime during the stewardship season of our church. A tithe is what they say, 10% of your income. If you got to ask, is that gross or net? That's a whole different question, you know. But it was Ruth and my goal as we were young married people and not really a lot of student loans, you know, about 17 years of school to pay for. And we made it finally to 10% of our income, and then we got to 20%. We saved 10, we give 10. It was Ruth and my goal that we do that. And it's actually a rule in Moses' law. You remember that I talked to you about? It always says that the pastor has to give, or the priest have to give 10% of their income as well. And we do. Well, friends, we are blessed to have the ability to have this wonderful building in which to worship this our Creator and share it with the community and guests. We are blessed to be a blessing to others, and I am so proud to be in ministry with you. And that is the word of God for the people of God today at Central Church. In the name of our Creator, Redeemer, and Sustainer, amen.